moment. It's the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Kyle Selagi Variety Hour, the final episode of the season, of the 2019 season. We made it all the way, guys, through a full season without missing an episode, unless you count the one that we missed. If you don't count that one, though, we did a whole season, and it was a season that, if you listened to this podcast, you knew all along they were going 10-6, because I said all along that the Buffalo Bills were going to finish with a 10-6 record. I even wrote it on the internet. I said it on the internet in voice, you know, in a podcast, this one in particular. And yeah, the Buffalo Bills are 10-6. They lost to the New York Jets in Week 17, which is what we're supposed to talk about today. But it was a meaningless game in which nobody of note played and nothing really happened. It was a boring football game. So we'll just kind of gloss over that, but we're probably going to hit a few road bumps along the way because we don't feel like talking about this football game. We will talk about it, but we'll also do just whatever the hell else we feel like doing, and we're not going to talk about the Houston Texans playoff game yet because it's now confirmed that the Buffalo Bills will play the Houston Texans in the first round of the playoffs in the wild card round next weekend, and I'm thinking we're going to do a preview podcast midweek for that game, which gives us a little time to actually watch Houston Texans film and read about them and see what kind of team they are, so we're not just talking out our ass here on this podcast. Maybe you guys wouldn't be, but I would be, because I haven't watched any Houston Texans football this year. I just know that Deshaun Watson's pretty good. So we'll get a better understanding of that, and then maybe midweek we will do a Houston Texans preview podcast, but don't hold me to it. We might not do it anyway. But we're not going to talk about Houston today. We are going to review the Bills' Week 17 loss to the New York Jets, is who they played. Oof. And we'll do some other things along the way, as I've said 100 times now. And joining me to do these wonderful things first, it's McKenna Middlebrook. McKenna, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. How are you doing? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was... I do have stories. But first, I'll ask you how your Christmas was, and then we'll get into stories. How was your holiday? If it was Christmas,
It was Christmas. It was good. It was fine. It was quiet at my house, and that's how I like it. It's just not doing anything too crazy, just hanging out with the family. So yeah, it was good. It was really good.
Just vibing a little bit.
Yeah, just vibing. I also, though, I got a Buffalo Bills flask for Christmas.
Ooh, look at you.
Which is something else, I guess.
Well, this isn't the type of year where you would need a Buffalo Bills flask, though. That's the thing.
Maybe after the playoff game, but we'll see.
You wouldn't have to sneak one into the stadium. Also here, making his return after a one-week absence, it's Rich Kowalski. Rich, we were worried about you, dude.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
Yeah, we were really worried about you because
disappeared.
Well, it was scary because you had Bills Mafia in your Twitter mentions.
Oh man, that whole thing. Oh gosh, yeah, that was pretty fun. It was a good time. It was my phone battery went pretty low pretty quickly, so that was fun. But, yeah, I mean, maybe I needed that Bills flask after that whole ordeal.
Yeah, I think you did.
Should we talk about that at all?
No, I think we're good. Let's talk about the soupy, doopy Bills game.
If you know what we're talking about, you know what we're
just
talking about.
Just look at Rich's
about.
Twitter.
Just look at Rich's Twitter.
It's gone.
Oh, you deleted it all?
About? Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
If you were there,
all the evidence is gone. Yeah, if you know, you know.
What evidence, Judge? I ain't no snitch.
If the glove does not fit, you must acquit.
True.
If the tweets are not there, you must not look.
Tweets are not there. Do not despair. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. They gone.
They're gone. It never happened.
I looked at them and I said, yeet.
Wow, what a millennial thing of you to say.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the younger demographic.
Let's just say that our editor is now blocked by a popular Bills Twitter account.
Popular?
I think they're pretty popular. No, they're popular.
They have a good following.
They do. They have a passionate following.
And, like, emphasize the word following as in, like, almost like a religion.
Ah. Ah. Hey, they stole Rob Quinn from us.
Anyways.
Oh, hey, might have to. I'm not gonna edit this out. I don't give a shit. So
it's a variety hour.
It's a variety hour. So guys, also, I forgot to tease this at the top of the show. I told you guys before we started recording, but I have a very special surprise on this episode of the Kyle Selege Variety Hour. It's gonna blow your minds. It's gonna blow the audience's mind. You're just gonna be like, "Wow, I did not see that coming. I really did not see that coming." But first, bar story. Stories from the weekend. So I've talked a lot of crap about Springville on this show. Because yeah. Springville...
It's Springville.
It's Springville.
It's its own punchline.
Exactly. It just kind of sucks.
It's not bad or anything.
And I hate when people who don't know about Buffalo talk poorly about Buffalo. I get very defensive about that, as does every other person in the world, apparently, or at least those who I follow on Twitter. but to go off that, it's kind of hypocritical for me to just go on a podcast and consistently talk crap about Springville because I don't live in Springville. What right do I have to talk about Springville? But every single time I've gone to Springville, it lives up to the stereotype.
Mm.
It is just... Ooh, I do not like Springville. There's a Walmart there. That's about the most exciting thing that Springville has to offer. There's also a Mexican place, which is has pretty good food.
Taco Bell?
I think there actually is a Taco Bell there, to be honest. But anyway, so last week, my friend who lives in Colden but went to Springville schools was like, "Hey, my friend from Springville is back home, and also my other friend from Springville is working at a bar in Ellicottville tonight, so let's go." And I was like, okay. So we went to that bar. That bar was fine. It was like a brewery. I forget what it was called, like Stillhouse or something like that. It was something similar to that. They had delicious beer. They had a blueberry beer called Blue Balls, which was very good.
So, Kyle, you got Blue Balls?
I did get the Blue Balls, and I loved the Blue Balls. I thought the Blue Balls tasted very good. I said this podcast is probably going to be our most chaotic of the year. Then I ordered a Hefeweizen. They had a Hefeweizen on the menu. And I told the bartender, who was my friend's friend, his name was Pat, good guy. And I was like, "I'll have the Hefeweizen." He's like, "Oh, the Hefeweizen."
oh boy.
And I was like, "Oh, cool."
They're pretty cultured.
It's okay. We were in the Southern Tier. We were in Ellicottville. Yeah,
I don't think they have books that teach you that.
No, I love Pat. I just thought that was funny. I don't want to... I'll talk shit about Springville all day. I draw the line at Pat. Pat's a good guy. But,
fan of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Pat. just a random guy named Pat is listening to this. You're like, "Oh, cool. I'm a friend."
Pat's just a good guy name. Pat has a good guy name. I don't know any Pats I don't like.
Very true. No, that's a Pat Sajak. How do you feel about him?
Pat Sajak.
Who? Host of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's got a little quick humor. He has a Buffalo connection. He does? You know, if you dig in his tweets, I'm sure you'd find a tweet that says, like, the Bills are New York's only football team or something.
Yeah, right, you'd find something. I'm sure he's eaten at Barbill once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
But
how does he have a Buffalo connection? How does this all work out?
I think one of the assistants or something was from Buffalo, or maybe, I don't know. There's some connection. It was a couple of years ago. There was like a story on, I think it was like Channel 4 or something. It must have been like a really slow news week. they found a connection between Pat from Wheel of Fortune and Buffalo.
If there's a connection, Alan Pergamon's written hundreds of words about it. I'll reach out to him. I'll say, "Hey, professor, any connection between Pat Sajak and Buffalo?" And he would respond, "There's always a Buffalo connection." Because that's what he does. What was I talking about? Oh, beer. Anyway, so we're at this bar. I drink Blue Balls and a Hefeweizen, and then we took the party over to another Ellicottville bar. It was called like Madigan's or something. And this place, look, this is like the stereotypical Southern Tier bar. It was just awful. And when I say every man was wearing the same exact thing, I'm not exaggerating. Every single guy is wearing blue jeans, a plaid shirt that have like three buttons unbuttoned, and then the undershirt, Right. The undershirt that they're wearing is visible. Some had, like, text on the undershirt. Some didn't. Some kept it a little classy. And then the hat, either backwards or forwards, you decide.
What color were the hats?
Red, gray, just a myriad of colored hats. Yeah. Often not matching the shirts or the pants. Just, I was just, like, amazed by this.
Were they wearing boots as well?
I never looked at the feet.
You didn't want to get beat up.
Right.
They take that. They don't. Yeah, it's like you don't look a. Yeah, you don't do that there.
Well, going off that, well, I did see a guy playing pool, and he got, like, you could tell he was, like, the charismatic guy in the bar because he was wearing the same outfit, but his button-up shirt had flowers on it. It wasn't just plaid. Wow. It had flowers on it with the
town drunk.
Right, with the three or four unbuttoned unbuttoned buttons and then a white undershirt. So,
nice.
You know, he was a little charismatic. He was a little kooky, if you will.
but
I'm right. I'm in this place. I'm in this bar. I'm vibing to these tunes, man. Mm. Just these mid-90s to mid-2000s tunes.
So they have a jukebox.
They had a... Okay. It was maybe just somebody who didn't have really good Wi-Fi hooked up to Spotify or to Apple Music. But
the ads going to...
No, they have Pandora in Springville. So we're my friends and I were just vibing to this song. Actually, I was the only one vibing. I was the only one dancing in that whole place. Mm. I'm not a good dancer.
I'm not surprised by this.
Look, I don't pride myself on my dancing ability, but when I'm drinking, I like to dance. Yeah. I like to move. I don't just want to sit there at the bar and be sad. So I'm the only person on the dance floor.
Get your steps in.
Right. I'm just literally doing the running man across the dance floor because that's my go-to dance move. I'm the only one there. And everyone else is either just sitting at the bar or playing pool or standing around the pool table. And I was like, this place is just awful. And I'm saying this as I'm just having the time of my life dancing. I honestly thought somebody was going to come up to me, spit chewing tobacco on my shoes, and be like, you're in the wrong part of town, buddy. Yeah.
Get out of town, city slicker.
Yeah, I was fully expecting that.
We don't dance like that here.
Yeah, exactly. We don't do the running man.
Yeah. Springville is in the south.
It's
Southern tier.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
dude! I don't plan on. And that's the thing is, like, you hear of the Ellicottville, whatever they do every year. The
Ellicottville's like the city to them, probably.
Well, like I had never been to Ellicottville. The only time I'd ever been to Ellicottville was passing through there to go camping a few weeks ago.
Really? Right. You've never been? Wow!
I had never been to Ellicottville, so I was always under the impression that it was kind of like the Lewiston or the East Aurora of the Southern Tier, just a little bit. Like this hipster vibey place, right? No, it was just at least on this Wednesday or Thursday night, whatever. It was a Thursday night. It was just Southern Tier, the capital of the Southern Tier.
Yeah.
So any people in the Southern Tier listening to this, thank you for listening. I love you, just not anyone else from your region of living.
That was a good caveat to add.
Yes, thank you. So we're 13 minutes deep, and we've talked about nothing about the Buffalo Bills game. So we'll postpone that a little further here. Rich,
yeah,
making your triumphant return to the podcast. That means that Premier Rich is back, and we've had a lot of soccer recently, a lot of football, if you will. With the whole Christmas season, a lot of football being played over there in England. So catch us up. What's been going on?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the last week, Tottenham have had, like, two chances to take fourth place, and they really both times just kind of blew it. They lost to Chelsea last Sunday, I believe. And then there's so much football over Christmas week, too.
A lot of football.
There are, like, 50 games or something ridiculous. Yeah, so they lost to Chelsea 2-0. Then they ended up winning the game after that, and they drew against Norwich, the last place team in the league. So it's been a hot week for the Spurs. Manchester United, though, just overtook Spurs in the table. I guess they wanted it more.
I guess so.
Just a wild week for VAR as well, too. Ooh, I know it was the
that's a controversial
Wolverhampton against Liverpool. And there's like a 2 pixels offside.
Wolverhampton.
Wolverhampton. The Wolves. They were playing Liverpool Sunday morning, and the guy was about a fingernail offsides, and they took back a goal because of it, and people are starting to really get a little fed up with the video review.
And during that, I think it was during Liverpool's only goal, Virgil van Dijk during the build-up, like a clear handball.
Oh yeah.
Which, like, as soon as there's a handball during, like, during a goal scoring, like, you know, like passage of play, it has to be ruled out. But I guess it was inconclusive, even though it was hitting his wrist.
Oh yeah.
But it was then earlier in the season, Trent Alexander-Arnold literally palmed a ball in his own box, incidental or not, that still should be a penalty, but it wasn't called. So,
oh yeah. Liverpool's also 13 points ahead at the top of the table.
And, like, they've had so many. They've gotten a lot of help from VAR.
Oh, yeah. And they have a game behind everyone else because they didn't play, well, everyone else and West Ham, with West Ham. Them and West Ham, because they postponed their game because they had so many matches the last few weeks. They had to postpone one, and they still they could technically be 18 points above second place, which is just crazy.
Yeah. Been a wild
so game. Yeah, it's been a crazy week in the Premier League. I mean, Christmas is always such a huge time in the Premier League where things start shuffling around when you have, you know, 2-3 games within span of like 72 hours, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how much they play. And
I mean, there's a game on Wednesday for for most teams there are, and there's gonna be another one on Thursday for the teams that are playing.
That's
today.
Just crazy.
So, yeah, a lot. And then the FA Cup is 3 days later, so yeah. There's just so much going on. It's really a great time, though, just all the action. Like, you're seeing a lot of subs in, which is really cool. But also, like, you get all, like, these crazy score lines, like, you know, Tottenham drawing with Norwich 2-2, like...
Yeah, Norwich is such an interesting team, too.
Yeah, if they would just want to be the best team in England, they can be, but most of the time, they're just like... Nah, we're just
they've beaten Manchester City. They like drew against Leicester City. They blew a 2-goal lead against Wolverhampton. They're at the bottom of the table. So right now, technically, they'd be going down to the championship if the season ended today, and they'd be the worst team in the Premier League, which is just insane. I mean, how? It's a crazy year for English soccer. There's a lot going on, and nothing is really going to stop. It seems like Liverpool. From winning the league this year.
Yeah, unless they just like have a total collapse and have a lot of injuries. But
unless they just play too many games or something.
Yeah.
That's going to be their downfall.
We can only hope.
So it feels like it was just an insane time. Yeah. An insane time to be watching soccer. My team, West Ham, fired their coach, fired their manager.
They did.
Manuel Pellegrini.
They're bringing back their other coach that was in 2018, David Moyes.
Former Manchester United manager David Moyes.
They did?
Yes.
Yeah, just like
why?
I think moments ago.
Why? Like 44 minutes. Why has ago. This happened?
Because they don't want to be embarrassed.
Because they don't want to be successful.
Have some, you know, momentum to get some players in January. Maybe I don't know.
Speaking of firings, though, I don't think we talked about this. What's his name? Good evening.
Unai. I no longer have a job.
Yeah, and then he's replaced by Arteta.
And he has, Arsenal, for those of you who don't know, they hired Unai Emery, who turned out to be a horrible manager for them that would always, like, play with his neck, too. It was kind of gross. he got sacked, as they say. He got sacked.
He got sacked, yeah.
About 2 weeks ago. And then Arteta was the Manchester City assistant, and he ended up getting signed by Arsenal, and he has lost one, and he has drew one, so not very good so
Wait,
far.
He's lost two.
Yeah, he drew one. Oh no, I think he's only lost one, drew
Let's
one.
Look it up.
We can... Well, yeah, I guess two technically, because today,
yeah.
Chelsea and... beat them today, so 1-1, lost or drew one, lost two. Wow.
And yeah, so just
no. They usually say there's a new manager bounce or. Something like that, and
not happening.
Definitely not happening. It's very pleasing to watch as a Spurs fan. Sorry for the one Arsenal fan we have that listens.
I don't care. Arsenal.
Oh yeah,
small
Matt, who just he tweeted at us one day, and we're just like, "How about those Gunners?" And Rich and I are just like, "No,
no, Arsenal is such a small club.
None for me, thanks. They're such a what?
A small club. They have like such like a small club mentality.
Yeah, they do. They have no the thing with them is they have no vision, and that's what a lot of people criticize them for, is that they have no identity. They just have a bunch of players running around doing nothing. They're losing their midfielder Xavi Xhaka, and then Lacazette might leave, and he's just one of their top forwards, and then
Aubameyang
their striker Aubameyang might leave too. Who's Gabonese? He might go wherever, get a lot of money, and it's not looking good for them in the future. But
no, it doesn't sound good.
It's not good at all.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. All right. Anything else to add on this recap edition of Premier Rich?
No.
Manchester United have won two in a row, though. You know, that's the biggest thing, really. For me,
yeah, no, we're moving on.
No. Yeah, we can.
They do play Arsenal on New Year's Day. So that's hopefully Manchester United win, because Arsenal fans are the worst.
That would be really embarrassing if
it would be because they're awful right now.
Marcus Rashford, no goals.
He's on fire though.
Good
recently.
For him. He has 10 goals this year in the Premier League. 10 or 11?
No, like more. I think it's like 12 now because he scored yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah,
I saw that goal yesterday.
Yeah, he has
a great pass
from. He's a young and up and coming national star for England too. So
22, which is wild.
Oh yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's enough soccer talk, enough football talk.
Now that's just us.
I think I'm going to introduce the surprise.
Uh-oh.
Are you guys ready for this?
Is it a puppy?
No, I wish. It's going to be so underwhelming. I don't even know if you guys are going to be able to hear it. But
okay.
If this goes over well, it'll become a staple on the podcast. If not, it's going to be a one-hit wonder. Mm. So we'll just...
The deep cuts.
We'll see what happens here. Well, all right, let's go. I don't even know what to do.
Wow.
It's a keyboard.
You got a keyboard, huh? Bill's dad has a Bill's son.
Hell yeah, dude. What song do you guys want to hear?
Wonderwall.
All right, are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right, here's Wonderwall.
Hey!
It was Let It Be. All right, next song.
We did it.
What do you want to hear?
Chopsticks.
All right, here's Chopsticks.
Wow. Maybe you should just let that keyboard be.
All right, what next?
Hey Jude.
Let It Be.
Let It Be. All right, hold up.
You know that one?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here, let me
just
try
give it
to figure
give it a
this
whirl.
Out. Wait.
You're trying
I can't
to do,
do
roses,
it.
Huh?
I'm trying to do roses.
My outcast, I can tell.
I can't. I've written the. All right. Okay. Wait.
Welcome to Kyle's piano lessons. There it is.
All right. So that's
that's a good transition song.
That's the new part of the podcast, everybody.
Kyle learns piano.
Is Kyle learns how to play the keyboard each and every week. What I did try to learn during the game, because I was bored because it was a bad football game, that could be the transition, but it's not going to be. I was trying to learn how to play Broccoli by Dram on
what?
Here.
Or any of those words.
Is that a code word for something?
You guys have never heard Broccoli by Dram?
I've heard that song.
All right, good.
Dram?
Dram is he's a rapper.
Here, let me see if I can get it. No.
Oh my.
No, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, that'll be next week.
That's next week.
Next week, wait. When Kyle returns to practice the keyboard.
Wait, check this out though. Maybe this will work. Maybe I remember how to do this. Nope. There you go.
That's
Furry Leaves. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. But I watched a video called Every Chainsmoker Song. I don't know if you guys have seen this song. But So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna play you guys a Chainsmokers beat.
Okay.
And then one of you, I don't care who, it's just not going to be me, you're going to sing about this Bills game in the style of a Chainsmokers song. So who's going to take this? Who's going to take the bullet here?
I don't think I've ever listened to the Chainsmokers before.
All right, well, here's song. Here's how every one of their I've beats goes.
This is too uplifting for the Bills song.
Yeah.
Because they lost.
Play that in minor, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Not minor means sad.
Minor means sad.
All right, you want sad? Hold up. There you go.
Chain smoker song.
Four yeah. of these.
All right.
Wow.
Maybe we should add some drums next time.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I found a keyboard in my basement, so now it's
it's part of
we should
it's part
start.
Of
we should take this this band on the road and call it the Kyle Stelecki Variety Hour.
Hey,
sounds like a band.
Go to bars.
See, that's why naming. See, I don't often think of myself as a smart guy, but I'm gonna give myself credit from me back in May or whatever when I said to call it the Variety Hour because hey. Now I can do shit like this. I can play Furry Leaves on my podcast. Oh, this is great. This was
nothing
a, this,
can stop.
This was a Don't Stop Me Now. Here, let me play Don't Stop Me Now.
Don't
hold up.
Stop Me Now.
All right, yep, here's Don't Stop Me Now. I said it was gonna be the most chaotic podcast we've ever done.
It's definitely living up to that name.
I needed to pull out all the stops.
We just only have historic podcasts. That's the thing is we can't have a podcast that isn't historic. It's either the 500th episode,
right,
or breaking new grounds on a podcast. Name another podcast that's sports centric that has had a keyboardist on there.
Can't. It's never happened before ever in the history
breaking
of
barriers.
Podcasts.
You don't see
we're
it.
Trailblazers.
Hey, Portland Trailblazers. Hey.
So how was the Trailblazers game?
I did go to a Trailblazers game a couple weeks ago. Like a week ago. It was pretty good, actually.
About a week ago.
They got a good strong crowd and fan base. The only thing that sucked was that the one game of the year since Carmelo Anthony has been on the Blazers, he did not play.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I was kind of looking forward to that. But
you got to see Melo.
Yeah. He was on the sidelines, and no, I'm not joking when I say this. It looked like he was wearing an outfit from 2003. He had a blazer on over, like, just a normal, like, almost like Ed Hardy shirt, and then just, like, some like, acid-washed jeans.
Oh,
I was like, what is he doing?
Probably a good look. Oh, here's the issue.
I think he wore it to the draft after party. 2004 draft.
Here's the issue about this podcast. We do some, I think, some funny things, like playing a keyboard mid-podcast. But also, I don't know if anybody ever makes it 27 minutes deep to hear this stuff. I think people just kind of are like, oh, okay, it's just another nonsense podcast. I thought there was Bills talk. I'm 27 minutes deep, and they only have talked about how they're not going to talk about the game. But I think... yeah, I think it's time to start talking about this football game, guys. I really don't want to. Yeah, I know. It was the season finale. The Buffalo Bills, or the regular season finale, sorry. Buffalo Bills lose to the New York Jets by a score of 13-6. And it's so hard to talk about this game because nothing in it meant anything and nothing whatsoever mattered. The Bills walked into this game knowing no matter what happened, no matter who played, no matter how many points they put up or how many points they allowed, they were finishing fifth in the AFC, and they were going to face either Houston or Kansas City, which we now know is Houston. They knew that no matter what they did, it would not have mattered. Would it have been nice to go into the postseason with a win? Yes, but it also really doesn't matter because they played their backups throughout the majority of the games. I think Tremaine Edmonds played a series, maybe. Josh Allen played two series, maybe. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, they were in the game. They were, you know, not scratched, but I don't know if they even played. Tre'Davious White was scratched. Cole Beasley and John Brown were scratched. This was seriously a protect the playbook game and let the guys who haven't played all year get some playing time.
You know, I'd like to disagree with that, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, come at me, Rich.
You know, I the way I saw this game, the Bills knew that Greg Williams and the Jets defense was going to still take it seriously. They were still going to be aggressive. They were still going to try to get sacks and pressure Allen and make him do things that he didn't want to do. But the Bills knew that. And going into that game, too, I think they decided to try to work on some things with Allen that you wouldn't normally be able to do in an NFL game. They called some – I mean, some of the plays they called were throwing it, you know, beyond 15, 20 yards for Allen. And I think having him get that experience and try to work on some things that, you know you're only in there for probably two series, so you might as well make the use out of it rather than just handing the ball off. So I think they did really try to work on his biggest weakness and, you know, before the playoffs to see if they could tweak anything, give him, you know, maybe try something different before now they're going to Houston. So I would say there were some beneficial things like that in it.
I think you're right in a sense, because like he had one deep shot, and if it was to like any other receiver, it probably would have been caught, because Duke Williams isn't very quick, and he got one of his hands on it. So like if that was John Brown, you can sort of think that would have been a completion, because it was almost on the money. And I think you're right. They didn't really – they called a couple screens, which they don't normally do. So
that's another thing that Allen's just like, been trying to work on, is that
– it's almost a scrimmage, like, in a sense. Yeah.
And, I mean, the weather also obviously dictated the game plan as well. Yeah. But I think they were still going to have pretty much the same game plan for Allen going into this, whether the weather was clear or whether it was raining. Yeah. Because you want to work on those things that, you know, he's pretty weak in, which is screen passes on short out routes. He tends to – not lead a receiver or throw the ball low. And you saw that even once in the game, too. We did it to Croft, I think, on one throw. But it's also a chance, too, to get some of these guys, like we were saying, that, you know, don't really see the field, to get some action and see what it's like and get that real game speed, because you can't replicate that in practice. You can't replicate that in the preseason, really. And also, like, what I see, too, in this game is that this was a really good look for Brandon Bean and McDermott to see where the depth has holes and where they need to bolster it, because they have 80 plus million in cap space this offseason. They want to see in live game speed where some guys are faltering, where they need to add some pieces, and where they're pretty good. I think that was a really good opportunity for them. You're never going to get that in practice. There's some positives.
Yeah, there are definitely some positives, and I don't know what they were, though. that's the thing. Josh Allen, you are right. They did try to give him the opportunity to improve on some of the things that he's shown that he has issues with this year, but he threw five passes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Completed three of them for 5 yards.
Some of them count, you know, with the styling of the play. Also, too, I mean, in this game, I mean, you could say the Bills overall didn't perform very well, but it was nice to see, though, that defensive front really still, like, the youngest guys. It's like Ed Oliver, first-round pick this past year, and Daryl Johnson, a seventh-round pick, right? From North Carolina A&T.
I would know. Seventh-round pick.
Those guys had a lot of push and were disrupting the backfield, you know, pretty often against the Jets. And this is, the Jets team has been pretty good against, you know, stopping the defensive line from getting sacks they're like 6-2 in the second half of the season, and they were pretty good at that. And for these young guys that, you know, the future of the Bills defensive line, it looks pretty good. And to see those guys actually like perform, like Daryl Johnson, that really was a game where he needed to step up, because of late, whenever he had his chances, he wasn't really doing that. And he looked good, Kyle. You were probably stoked.
I was proud of my son, my kid DJ. I was really proud of him out there. Wait, why do I call him DJ? Oh, because it's Daryl Johnson Jr. Okay,
because he's a DJ.
He likes that's music. Why, because there's two reasons why it could be DJ. he likes music, you say? But you say this was a good look for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, a way for them to see what they need on this roster. And I just think overall it was a good game for Sean McDermott. This really reaffirms that the Bills have a good coach, because for the majority of the game, for the vast majority of the game, You are playing without your starting quarterback. You are playing without your starting middle linebacker. And you are playing with second or third choice players across the board for the most part. And you stay in the game against an NFL team that wants to win. That's playing all of its starters. That's playing the former third overall pick who's paying or who's playing Le'Veon Bell, one of the highest paid running backs in the league.
The third highest paid.
Who's playing Robbie Anderson, who claims to be a number one receiver or whatever. You're yes. you're playing this or team who they are trying to win, a division rival, and you're just playing your JV team, as D'Lo so eloquently put it in Slack. You're literally playing your JV team, and you stay in the game throughout the majority of the you stay in the game throughout the majority of it. So I just think that shows good coaching. That just shows that even though the Jets won, I think Sean McDermott outcoached Adam Gase, and I would have been concerned if he didn't. Just because, I mean, even in a game where I think they're protecting the playbook for the most part. They don't want to show anything to Houston before this game. Even with their second and third stringers, they're protecting the playbook, and Sean McDermott still stays in the game. And that the majority of that is on the backs of the defensive line, or not the defensive line, but just the defense in general, I think. They did a great job. As you said, Daryl Johnson, Ed Oliver, all game just generating pressure. Trent Murphy getting two sacks, looking the best he's looked as a Bill. And granted, one of his sacks was just he was matched up against a tight end. So it was just like any defensive end of the NFL is probably going to take advantage of that, unless you're not very good. But then I just thought as a whole, the defense looked good, consistently getting pressure. There were a few whatever plays, I guess, just where the coverage wasn't great. But also you're playing your second and third stringers, and Bills, I think, made a lot of mistakes in this game, but that's going to happen when you're playing guys who haven't played, some haven't played meaningful football ever, meaningful NFL football ever. They haven't taken a snap in regular season games, some of them, or obviously have taken snaps, but not considerable snaps. This was their first real NFL action, so mistakes are bound to happen. And on offense, look, all season I've been saying that this offense is, like, borderline incompetent. And I would like to recant on that, because that's just, I mean, this was an incompetent offense.
Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, there were times when they moved the ball. But, again, I don't really think moving the ball was obviously the priority, but I don't think it was, like, a big deal to them in this game. I think that they were kind of, honestly, I think they were force feeding Duke Williams a lot of the game. Mm-hmm. Duke Williams had 12 targets. I think Duke Williams was truly force fed in this game. They just kind of gave him some shots like, okay, you're a big physical receiver. Show us that we need you in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Show us that we need a player like you who can go up and get the ball. And he kind of did. At times, he had 6 receptions, 108 yards. That's probably one of the better days a Bills receiver has had this year, to be honest. But he also had some plays where it's like, okay, that's why you're benched. Like the drop on the easy out route. Oh, yeah. It's like, come on, the Bills aren't going to play in a playoff game when you can't catch the 3-yard out route. That's not, why would they do that? That would be a bad decision. But again, he also had a few plays where he caught it in tight coverage, in tight space. He reeled in the ball, and then he would break off a few yards afterwards. He showed some run after the catch, which that really wasn't part of his game, nobody thought. Everyone thought he was just a physical guy, go up and get it, then go down. But he showed some wheels after the catch today, if you will. And also Isaiah McKenzie. I mean, we had this whole thing earlier this season. I had this whole rant about playing Duke Williams and Robert Foster over Isaiah McKenzie. And in a game where Duke Williams, it was kind of meant for him to shine, I think Isaiah McKenzie stole the spotlight. 2 receptions for 7 yards, 2 runs for 30 yards, and also he played some cornerback.
Lockdown
corner. Didn't even target him. Didn't have a pass thrown at him. Locked Robbie Anderson down, had the clamps on him.
0.0 passer rating against him.
Thank you, Rich. Oh, I'm going to tweet that later. Isaiah McKenzie has a 0 points. Yeah, that's great.
PFF team of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, PFF team of the year. He should be. But, I mean, like I said, this was I think this was a game where it was meant, the game plan at times kind of seemed like it was designed for Duke Williams to shine, but it was Isaiah McKenzie to me who popped out more. Just his speed and agility, I just thought he was very good in this game. And it kind of shows, you have a player like Isaiah McKenzie that you haven't been doing anything with. You have a player like Duke Williams who you haven't been doing anything with. You have a player like TJ Yeldon who I think played pretty well in this game. And you're not doing anything with them. They're benched, or if they're not scratched, they're just not playing.
They're insurance policies.
Yeah, and it's just frustrating when we talk about this offense all year and how they struggle. Why? Why? And then when you have these players, these shifty guys who offer something different, and they just don't do, they're not doing anything with them. I don't know if you play them against a good team, I don't know if they're going to have the same results, but why not give it a shot? Like, TJ Yeldon, I think he's a better fit in this offense than Frank Gore.
Yeah, I agree.
Isaiah McKenzie, and that's the thing. I don't know who you're scratching to get Duke Williams and Isaiah McKenzie in the game. I really don't know who you're scratching or who you're taking targets away from in-game to get Duke Williams and Isaiah McKenzie the ball. But I'd like, I think we're too late in the season, obviously, with the playoffs right here, to just start experimenting. This was the experimental game, and Duke Williams, Isaiah McKenzie, and TJ Yeldon showed that, okay, yeah, we probably should have been doing something with you all your shit. But I just think... I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see Duke or TJ Yeldon active next week, but I'd like to see Isaiah McKenzie's probably going to be active. I'd like to see them do some things with him next week, but I don't know if they will. So, McKenna, anything, just your thoughts on the game here in general?
So, yeah, I said this last week. I think that that TJ Yeldon's a better fit than Frank Gore. No, like, no offense to Frank Gore, but like, he isn't meant for this offense, you know, like he, well, he'll pound the ball, but that, like, isn't really what the modern NFL is all about. It's about shiftier guys who can, you know, make a cut if the first hole isn't there. But if you're Frank Gore, even if you make that cut, he's just slow now. Like, he doesn't have that quickness anymore. And TJ Yeldon's a better pass catcher, I guess. Like, he's out in space. That's where he makes his money. And if the Bills want to, like, you know, incorporate some screens into their offense, he's the perfect, like, you know, receiver for that, as well as Evan Singletary, but obviously he didn't play today. But I don't know who you scratched for Duke Williams. Like, yeah, we've been talking about, like, him almost all season, really. Like, he showed what he can offer outside of just, like, the, you know, just chuck it up to him in the red zone and see if he can come down with it. So it's tough. I guess it's good to have options, but when your number one and two receivers are so good and you have Isaiah McKenzie who can do something different, like he can just be like a standard receiver, but he can also do like those jet sweeps that he's actually really good at. He always picks up, you know, 7, 8, 9 yards every time he gets the ball. I don't know. And this is not about the Bills, but Jay Feely is the worst commentator I've ever heard. He is horrendous. Like,
yeah,
he was talking about momentum for the Bills going into the game. I'm like, going into the playoffs, I was like, there isn't any momentum for the Bills because none of their stars are playing. So, yeah. CBS, you're listening. Just drop that, dude. It was awful. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I do have to disagree with you with one thing there. I do think that TJ Yeldon is a better running back, as you know, running the ball, than Frank Gore is at this point. I mean, Gore was averaging more than him in that game, too. Gore is able to keep the motor going. TJ Yeldon is kind of the same running back style as Singletary, but, you know, a little older, where he isn't able to make those quick cuts as easier, or, you know, he has a little bit of a fumbling issue too. I think he's great in space. If they were able to just activate all three of those running backs for, you know, the week, that would be amazing, because you could have Frank Gore the pounder, you could have Singletary your main guy, and then, you know, Yeldon as well. What's wrong with having a wishbone offense there, having both guys as, you know, running back options out of the backfield? I mean, I don't see why they're not trying to go that route a little bit. Because I do think if you involve TJ Yeldon in your offense, I think you could add a little bit more, a little more spice and a little more potency that the defense has to plan against.
Well, I think that shows an issue in how they built the backfield, is you don't really have the do-it-all guy. You got Devin Singletary, who's the shifty guy. He has a little pass-catching ability, but that's not his game. He's drops. More. Devin Singletary is probably the most complete running back they have, but I would probably describe him as a jack of all trades, master of none. He's not an elite power back. He's a decent power back. He's not a Shady McCoy level shifty guy. He's very good, but he's not that elite level of shifty running back, and he's not an Alvin Kamara level receiving back. He's a decent receiving back, but that just shows that they don't have a complete running back. So just when you have to talk about playing all three just to kind of have a complete running back, it's
I guess so. But the thing with Singletary too is he's still so young too, and making that jump from Florida Atlantic to the NFL is certainly like a huge jump for him, going there to this, you know, playing on this big of a stage and against guys that, you know, you don't see in that conference. I think he still has time to develop that do-it-all type running back style. I would just rather see the Bills, if I'm a fan, to see than go for someone in free agency like Derrick Henry. Yeah. You know, he's going to be asking for a lot of money, but that could be the final piece that puts your offense, you know, over the edge a little bit and makes it more of a complete team where it's not just the defense is the best part of the Bills. It'd be, you know, both sides of the ball are difficult.
I agree on Derrick Henry. I love Derrick Henry. I think he would be a terrific addition for the Bills, but I had a discussion with my friend about this, and I kind of agree with him. He was saying how paying Derrick Henry a lot of money, and he very well may reset the running back market, or if he doesn't reset it, he's going to be paid amongst the best running backs in the league. To pay him a lot of money, and when you have Devin Singletary, who's very good, and Derrick Henry is the type of running back who you're going to have to feed him 20 to 25 times a game for him to get going.
Fair.
So that's taking the ball out of Devin Singletary's hands. So it really depends on how this front office views Derrick Henry, or not Derrick Henry, how they view Devin Singletary as to how they attack this offseason when it comes to the running back position. And that's another thing I talked about with my friend. He was like, the Bills need an Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram type backfield, just the duo, you know, you have everything covered in those two guys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, but in that, who is Devin Singletary? Because he's kind of both. Yeah. He can be the power guy, and he can be the shifty receiving guy. So I really don't know what the Bills need. It depends how they view Devin Singletary. You could seriously say you can compliment him with a Derrick Henry and let Devin Singletary show his agility, or you can compliment him with a T.J. Yeldon, a receiving back. So we'll see what happens there.
One other thing about Henry, too, is that there are a lot of miles on those tires too. He's runs the ball a lot, and you do have a risk of injury if they do sign him. You know, where he's taking so many hits a game if he's running it 20 times, or I mean, even 15 times. The guy's a downhill runner. He's going to take hits, and eventually that could get injured too.
Right, that'll catch up to him. My laptop just went black. Oh, there we go. Ooh, fixed no. it. Yeah, not good. But. that got real off tangent with this game, but I mean, like we've said, this game it means nothing.
Yeah,
they're at the same place. The backups played. I can't say Josh Allen played poorly. I can't say Cole Beasley and John Brown played poorly. I can't say Tremaine Edmonds played poorly or well to any of those. I don't just want to be always negative, but just because they didn't play, so they showed nothing in this game that will affect how they play in the playoffs. It was just kind of a let's just hope we get out alive game, and they did. Levi Wallace is the only significant injury. I would say Ty Nsekhe, but he's been hurt anyway. This was his return, and he got hurt again, so we'll see what happens. But with Levi Wallace, it sucks. It sucks because he's played. He had a few poor weeks, but for the most part, I think he's played well this year. And that his injury that he got on an interception may leak over into the playoffs. But also, the drop off from Levi Wallace to Kevin Johnson isn't that far. I may even argue that it's lateral.
They've really been interchangeable this whole year.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So I'm just final review of this game. It was whatever.
It was a bowl of buffalo chicken wing soup.
What was that? What?
It was a bowl of buffalo chicken wing soup. It was wet and spicy.
And gross. And Isaiah no McKenzie good. Played corner.
Yes. Lockdown corner, Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie Island.
Just anything else to add here about this game? Because, I mean, yeah, just my final thoughts. I'll transition, ask myself, Kyle, what do you think of the game? It was boring, but they didn't show anything, so it doesn't really matter. They'll play next week. So, Rich, final thoughts on the game?
What you said, but also, yeah, look forward to the playoffs, see how they game plan against the Texans. It'll be interesting. Sean Watson's very smart.
McKenna, thoughts on the game?
A nothing game with a nothing outcome, but yeah, I'm very excited for the playoffs. You know, Houston's a winnable game. I think it's gonna be an exciting game. So, yeah, good time. I should say it was like a fun like game, but it was fun to like, you know, sort of talk shit during it. It was like prime like banner sort of on Slack because no one was really like paying full attention to the game.
Yeah,
no, I was trying to learn broccoli.
That's true. Yeah.
It's fun that it meant something in a good way. It meant nothing in a good way.
It meant nothing in the best way. Matt Barkley did play well. We didn't talk about that. Matt Barkley, should they look for a new backup between now and next week?
Where are the Matt Barkley truthers at?
I'm looking at
you.
One.
in cast here.
In hiding.
Yeah, in Barkley truther. So, yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. As I said earlier, we will probably have a preview podcast this week, a special edition of the Kyle Selege Variety Hour to preview the Bills wild card round matchup with the Houston Texans. As somebody who has not watched a snap of Houston Texans football this year, I've watched a few, but not a considerable amount. I think it's a winnable game. I think DeAndre Hopkins is scary, but also Trey White's pretty scary.
Right? Didn't they play the Bills and Houston played last year, right?
Yes, they did.
And Trey White locked him down. I think if I remember correctly, Hopkins had 4 catches, 24 yards, and an amazing touchdown, which like only DeAndre Hopkins can catch. So.
He did have a touchdown. I do remember that.
It was a great touchdown. It was like perfect coverage, but it's DeAndre Hopkins is, you know, like a man among boys sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. They just have to make sure it's Trey White on DeAndre Hopkins, which they'll figure out. Yeah. they'll figure that out next week.
Johnson?
No? So no Kevin Johnson, please. No Levi Wallace on DeAndre Hopkins. Hofbrauhaus update, the first in a while. There hasn't been one because there's been no updates, but there is one yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Brad, Bill's Wire, friend of the pod, Brad Gelber, showed me in Slack a Buffalo News article in which they ran down the restaurants that opened and closed in Buffalo this year. And they kind of had a footnote saying Hofbrauhaus didn't open, but the owner wants to open soon. Which, I mean, he's been saying that for 5 years, wants to open soon. And there's still no progress on a sponsorship. I don't even know what to say. I really don't know what to say. We've been doing this podcast for months. We're on episode 650. And just for us not to have that sponsorship that we've been working so hard for, it's disheartening. It really is. So that's the Hofbrauhaus update. Any songs you guys want to hear?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, let me see if I can even do it. Nope. I can do, the beginning of Smells Like Teen Spirit. Give me a second. Nope. I can't do it.
That's
kind
of it.
Getting there. Yeah. You see that one last little bit.
Nope. Give me 1 minute, guys.
Kyle, nope.
If you look up the chords to guitar, you play it the same on piano as you do guitar because they're the same.
Really?
Yeah. Sunny Potsdam, I pretty much go to the Crane School of Music, so I just know everything there is to know about music.
You just have music IQ.
Yeah, you know.
Are you a musician?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I took a lot of music theory classes in high school, and I've taken one in college, so I know some things. Rattling up around here. Like, I can play the piano, technically, but, you know.
All right, guys, I think I figured it out. Give me 1 second. Ready? Are you ready for this? There you go.
There we did. Perfect.
There it is.
There's the beginning of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Nope. You should just left it at that.
What?
Can this be the new open, just playing the intro?
If there's any owners of bars listening to this podcast, book us at your bar.
You'll need a table because you probably don't have a stand, do you? Leave the table empty.
Yeah, come on. And you have to pay for drinks and food.
I actually just have it on like a TV table. That's what I'm holding.
A TV table. With. For keyboards and Lean Cuisine.
There we go. Yeah, nice. Book us for your bar.
Yeah,
we'll talk about nonsense and we'll play the keyboard. Ready? Here's Let It Be. Nope. There it is. Nope, I was close. I get so close, but so far.
Yeah.
Rich, where can people follow you on Twitter?
At by Rich Kowalski.
Oh, McKenna, where can people follow you on Twitter?
You can find me at McKenna Middle on Twitter.
You can find me at Kyle Salega. You can follow Bills Wire at the Bills Wire. Make sure to listen to the Midweek Podcast if there is one. Make sure to listen next week where we will review the Buffalo Bills wild card round loss to the Houston Texans.
That's your prediction of the L? No research about the Texans. Buffalo, 51-3.
Ooh.
I really
get the film projector out. We're going to need to watch some film.
That's right. We're going to have to do the All-22. We're going to have to
get that rolling.
We'll have to call some, I guess, enemies to Bill's Wire to help us out, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I guess we're enemies now. I never had a problem with them, but then
we do.
I guess we're just like an underlying beef, and now we're just like, oh, I guess we hate each other?
And that's the way it is.
I guess, yeah.
Okay, whatever. Does that wrap it up? Alright, I think it does. Turning the keyboard off now. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.